You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Oydie Kuipers. Oydie, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Oydie, we're going to talk about your show at DDDD Gallery. And the title of the show is Estate Sale, which is really kind of an interesting title for a number of reasons. Can we start there? Can you tell me a little bit about that title?
Yeah, of course. So I guess as I was working towards the show, it's like a year's worth of paintings. And a lot of them are from images that were taken in upstate New York. And I sort of struggled with what I was going to title the show. I had a number of ideas, and then I thought I might not title it. And as it was coming closer, I was driving around upstate a lot, and I kept seeing signs for estate sales, like, you know, scribbled out, and it was like estate sale on a piece of plywood or a sign. And so that, you know, that label or those words, or that title started to sort of bounce around in my head. And I've always been interested in paintings as, you know, as images, but also as objects and how they sort of circulate around the world, and people's lives, and especially sort of as domestic objects. And so as I was sort of thinking about that and thinking about, estate sale, and I kept seeing it come up enough, it sort of felt like it fit, and that's how it all came together.
So let's talk about the images in that context, because that's really interesting. You know, to begin with, these are fairly small 10x10 acrylic on panel pieces, of course. And for the listeners, there's images here and links to the show. Your process here is plein air, but there's also something else going on here, right, with lighting and use of digital tools. Can you tell me a little bit about the process? Because that seems so interesting. It's like I'm looking at these, and they're at once straightforward landscapes, but then something else is happening, something else with the way the light's working in there, or the reflection of light, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I've sort of always been intrigued by observation as being a starting point for a painting or for an image, and that's sort of really how these come about. So they're all painted from iPhone images that I've taken, but often it's not just a straight up iPhone image. I mean, at times there are, and then in those images that are just sort of straight up iPhone images, often they have like a little glitch to them where like the phone couldn't quite capture a particular quality of light, and that kind of simple lo-fi glitch is something that intrigues me. But often they're also re-photographed photos. So I'll have a number of photos on my phone that I'm looking at, and then I'll look at them on the computer, and I sort of live with these images and think about as I'm thinking about how they could become paintings. And often, you know, I'll be in my studio and I'll see an image on the screen, and then I'll re-photograph that image on the screen of my computer. So, and that means that in a lot of the paintings, things that look like, you know, they might be a setting sun or a certain a quality of light aren't actually in the original image or aren't sort of things that I experienced, but they're actually reflections of a spotlight of my studio on the computer screen. Or there's one in the show that's the reflection of a reading light. I was looking at that image again in bed before I went to sleep, and I noticed this sort of red reading light on the image, and I really liked the quality it gave that. So they come from these images that I've taken and like moments that I've experienced. But then often those are sort of a starting point. And then the image is sort of constructed partially digitally, and then the painting comes from there.
It's such an interesting process, you know, because it seems to bring up a lot of ideas and thoughts. I mean, it's again, right, it's a plein air, but it's not. That's so many other layers coming to this. You know, there's an interior layer, right? That's you're speaking about like interior lighting or lighting at night, the kind of lighting that, you know, would be difficult to reproduce in a lot of ways, but even if you did reproduce that lighting as it is at night, this is we're talking about reflections, reflections off a computer screen, reflections, mm-hmm. And as you referred to earlier, almost glitches, right? Things that mm-hmm. we're often using software to remove, right? To correct. So,
yeah. And even like there's paintings with fingerprints in them that are or fingerprints on the screen. So yeah, again, those things that you sort of normally try to get rid of then become, I find, sort of interesting starting points.
So tell me a little bit more about how that process evolves, because then there's the finished piece, which, you know, has to stop at some point, but that finished piece could obviously be added to in many more ways. There could be more shadows that hit it or light that hits it that keeps adding layers, right? When does that stop? Because it isn't typically, I suppose plein air is that you can always add to it too, even in the landscape or back in the studio. But in this case, the layers could be almost endless, right?
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. And I do, you know, there are certain images that haven't made it into paintings yet, or haven't become paintings yet. And those images, yeah, sort of at times do feel like they're being endlessly tweaked or looked at in different situations. But in terms of the paintings themselves, so often when I do settle on an image and want to make a painting from that, then I'm sort of painting towards a finished point. And you know, that is in relationship to the image on the screen that I'm painting from, but then also I think also relates to the way that they're painted. They're painted sort of in these pretty thin washes of acrylic. And often what looks like the thinnest part is actually the thickest. So the lights, like the sky coming through the trees, is often like, that's actually often, you know, it's just air or light, but that's really the most solid part of the surface of the painting. There's the most paint there, the trees and the foliage and sort of like the ground and the rest of the landscape is often made up of these very thin washes, but then the lights are the last thing that I put on, and there's sort of these like thicker highlights. So I think that the way that they're painted too, so, you know, as I've sort of built up the more physical aspects of the landscape, like again, like the trees and the foliage, and that sort of reached a resolved point, then I'll start to work in those thicker areas that are the lights. And so, yeah, there's a little bit of, on one hand, I'm painting towards an image, and you know, I want it to really be sort of a representation of the digital image that I'm working from. But also there's a way that the process sort of determines an endpoint, because at some point, you know, there are so many layers that it becomes sort of muddied if there's more. And then once those highlights go in, it's hard to paint over those. So it's sort of a dialogue between like trying to reach a certain result that I have in my head, and then also the process sort of dictating where that endpoint is.
And there's also, I mean, to me, there seems to be a narrative that happens in here after all of that. I mean, I'm looking at one, they're all untitled, but this one has what looks almost like an orange flag in the lower right-hand corner, which not quite the corner, but lower right-hand. And, you know, it's likely a reflection of some kind, of course, mm-hmm. but it brings in another element. You know, it makes me look closer and wonder exactly what's happening here, and adds a kind of it's almost like a ghost of an image. It's so subtle, and it's so it's not that it's subtle in the sense it's hard to perceive, but exactly what it is, of course, is so subtle unless we're having a conversation like this and talking about it. But right. it almost seems like like something paranormal almost. And I mean, sorry to read that much into it, but I'm wondering how that affects the narrative, or if that's something that you think about too, because it brings you into this landscape in a way that I haven't been brought into a landscape before, and makes me wonder, like, what's happening there? Something else is going on in the air or something like that.
Yeah, no, totally. And that's really, it's interesting to hear you say that, because that really is sort of what I've found myself most interested in. I'm in sort of these in images or marks that you know look like they're sort of these like subjective experiences or they're like you know recognizable images, but then like as you look closer, that there becomes there is sort of a questioning that starts to happen, like what is this space and how did it come together, and you know what looks like you know at first it made sense doesn't quite make sense. So that sort of they're images that they look like they're sort of these simple images, but then as you look at them, it sort of hopefully forces the viewer to sort of like question the assumptions that they had initially upon looking at it. And that to me, that's just an interesting dynamic of engaging with something that you sort of think you understand, but then as you look at it, it gets more complicated and it makes you sort of rethink those assumptions that you came to it with. So that's really exciting to hear you say that.
Well, I mean, and there's things that, you know, I may be reading into it. There's because we try to make sense of things, right? Oddly enough, right? As we look at images that we don't understand, and there's another one, landscape, of course, also untitled, and there's what looks like, you know, trees and grass, and then there's orange markings that look almost like letters. As I read it, it looks like the letters are spelling out something like final, but, you know, likely they're not. It's just what I'm reading into it. But that even more seems like, I mean, it could be a reflection of a sign across the street. I don't know. And now that we talk, I imagine, you know, kind of neon from across the street could be reflected in your studio. But the painting itself feels like it's almost a painting of an event and that there is a story of what's going on here. And again, I know this is something it's a stretch. I'm reading that into it. But in that one in particular, yeah, I see letters, I see words, I see, you know, something else happening behind the trees. In that particular work, are you seeing something like that, or does that come across differently to you? Because it seems to me that different viewers could see something different there, right?
Yeah, no, completely. And it's interesting to look at that painting again, because it's one of the earlier ones from the show. The paintings are loosely from a year of working. When I was first making it, it was from an image I'd taken, and that bright orange is the sun reflecting. So it was really like a moment. There was a quality of light that I was interested in, and I was painting to try and I was painting from a sort of zoomed in cropped image. So the image was a little bit confusing, but I was trying to paint to sort of realistically represent that image with all of its flaws and such. But it's interesting now looking back at it, you know, a little over a year later, that it does. I feel sort of a little less attached to that exact moment of the sun setting and reflecting on the base of these trees, and sort of am able to see it more like you were saying, and that, you know, it brings like other ideas into it, and that's something that I find interesting. I like the idea that the work is sort of open and that there's a room for interpretation. And it's sort of, yeah, I don't know. I've always been interested in abstraction in a way where, you know, it sort of leaves a lot of room for the viewer. And of course, you know, that's with anything. But yeah, I like that idea that they are these sort of open images and there's space for the viewer to sort of, you know, bring stuff to them, take some away from them, or interpret them in different ways.
And in terms of the kind of genre of, you know, what it means to paint this way, plein air, and some of these are kind of mysterious in different ways, where we're seeing what looks like reflection of a computer screen, and it doesn't have quite that kind of symbols that I'm mentioning in the last two works. As a painter, as you know, plein air seems to me, you know, such a sort of romantic way of painting in a way, because not so much about being outside, but because it's this act of looking closely. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're, of course, doing that as well with all these reflections and layers. How do you see that in terms of that genre? I mean, do you feel that you are a plein air painter and relate to those aspects of it, or is something else happening here altogether?
Yeah, I definitely relate to that history, and it's something that I've looked at for a very long time. I sort of see myself as trying to, complicate isn't the right word, but just sort of trying to, I guess, really sort of understand my relationship to that history. As a starting point, I'd been making work that was sort of more based in observation, it was also based in observation, and I'd been painting more actually plein air, where I'd been painting outside, and I was sort of trying to think through that and develop like a hand and an eye and a visual vocabulary for expressing things that I'd seen in plein air. And as I was doing that, I was also working on this project, which was the last show I did, which was a series of paintings of the Cleveland skyline, that were painted to look, because I was using the vocabulary that I'd learned from painting outside. So they were sort of made to look like they had been painted outside, but actually they'd been painted from a live stream. So I would sit in front of my computer, look at the live stream, and paint these paintings as if I'd been painting outdoors. So there was, I felt like there was a sort of like, I had this sincere, insincere relationship to that history, because I was sort of like, in part doing it, but also faking it and tricking the viewer in a ways. And then there were things like drops of water on the live stream camera lens that would also complicate the image and hopefully have the viewer sort of question what was going on. After that, I made that sort of led to another series of work that I made, which were these seascapes that were painted from images taken by weather buoys in the middle of the Atlantic and Pacific. And again, those were, you know, they very much came out of a plein air vocabulary, but then were sort of complicated. They're often very low res images. As the buoys would bob around, the horizons would be really tilted. So they sort of made sense, but then also didn't make sense. That's sort of how my relationship to a plein air painting tradition has developed. That it's, I've seen it as a form that can be used, because it's understood, and then manipulated, to potentially do, or yeah, to potentially make, make different images.
I like that. Yeah. It's such a different way of looking, really, you know, of looking at the world and relates to so many ways that we all are changing, I guess, our perception, right, of how we look at the world, because we are looking at images largely on screens, also on reflective screens that are anything but natural, but it's a language that is somehow we're all conversant in.
Exactly. And with the paintings in the show, I was also interested in the idea that not only do we sort of experience things through these images, you know, every time I see a beautiful, whatever, you know, sunset moment in the natural world, I have this impulse to pull out my phone and capture it. And of course, that image that you capture never captures the moment that you experience. But yet we then, you know, the moment happens, but we have this image that we carry around, and we look at that image in different contexts. And so I was interested in sort of how those images change as, you know, you've had them on your phone for a month and you see them in a different context, or you show them to someone else in a different context. So then in thinking about that, I was then interested in how like reflections in different areas can, have like a physical change on those images too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Really beautiful show, Oidy, and of course for listeners, there's more links here to find out more I want to ask you one more question, a little off topic. I'm always curious what everybody's reading. What are you reading at the moment?
Yeah, of course. So I just started a book, and I'm as you're asking this, I'm realizing it is by an author whose last name I've never said out loud. I've said in my head a million times. But it's Olivia, I believe, Liang, and it's called Funny Weather, Art in an Emergency. And it's a collection of essays that she's written on different artists.
Oidy, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today. I really appreciate your work, your gorgeous show, and thanks so much for doing that and taking the time.
Thank you so much. I'm honored that you asked and took the time to look at the work, and I'm really excited to be a part of this larger project.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.